Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. In recent days, I've been meditating upon this, the scripture and the theme about being the church. Church has many different meanings to people. Some people hate the church for different reasons. But the only thing that's really important is the Lord's perspective. What does he mean by church? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In the previous couple verses, Jesus had asked Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" When people had different opinions of who Jesus is. Some said he was a prophet, Jeremiah's. And Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? This is in Matthew 16, verse 14. And some say you're John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ." That's the Greek version for the Hebrew meaning of Messiah, which means to rub with oil. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That was Peter's theology, summed up in one verse. And look at Jesus' response. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon, Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And then this verse, verse 18 that I've just read about Jesus saying about him being Peter, Petros, "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. This revelation didn't come out of a theological school. It didn't come out of a book. It came by revelation from the Father himself. And Jesus commended this theology, a scriptural theology. Scriptural theology utilizes scriptural terminology. I love it. And Jesus says, "I will build my church," which is the word ecclesia, which means called out. And ladies and gentlemen, all of us by nature, to one degree or to another, we want to belong to something. We want to identify with something. And some of those things that we want to identify with aren't so good. Some of them are good and noble. But what has God called us to be identifying with? It's with his Son, Jesus Christ, which is the chief cornerstone, which no man can lay other than Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, who gave himself as a ransom for many. And whoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God has a people. All through the scripture, we see that God has a remnant. Even though there's a great crowd of people that profess to love God, in times of ebb and flow, people waning this way from the Lord, going to the left, going to the right, from one extreme to another, but God has said his people are like sheep wandering upon the mountains and the hills without a shepherd. The Lord has been very grieved over time, over history, with the religious people, whether the Jews, whether Israel, whether Christianity is a religion, this denomination, that denomination, upon one another, the work of flesh. But God has called us out to serve him, to follow him, to be truthful, sincere worshipers of him in spirit and in truth. You take this man, John the Baptist, who was a forerunner to Jesus Christ, who was in the spirit of Elijah, preparing the people for the coming of the Lord. Where was John the Baptist? This is 2,000 years ago. There was a temple. There were the synagogues. They had a religious system, Pharisees, scribes. They had one extreme or another, the zealots. But John the Baptist was in the wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey, wearing a leather girdle. Very radical man, proclaiming repentance, preparing the way for the Lord, announcing Jesus Christ. And what did John the Baptist say when he beheld Jesus? Jesus desiring to be baptized that it would fulfill all righteousness of the Father. John says, I'm not going to baptize you. But Jesus said, no, you must baptize me. This is the will of the Father. But John said, he must increase and I must decrease. A man that was truly identified with his calling in the Lord, his purpose. And he called the people to repentance. And in a day of great religiosity, or great bondage, where Jesus outcried against the Pharisees for putting people in bondage, elaborating, making the law even more bondage than it really was in the word. And Jesus said, you ruin people. I'm paraphrasing. You make twice the child of hell than yourself. You go over lands and seas to make a proselyte, and then when you're done with them, they're children of hell. But John the Baptist called people to repent and show forth fruit that's worthy of repentance. If you've really repented, get right with God. If you've really repented, change your behavior. If you've really repented, get right with people. Do what's right with people. And again, it comes back to thou shalt love the Lord your God, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. John the Baptist was a simple man, but he was outside the religious system, out in the wilderness. And that really upset the religious people in those days. They came out to hear him, check him out, spy on him, see what he was up to. And John the Baptist saw that. He said, who warned you, you children of hell? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now the axe is laid to the tree. And every tree that does not bear fruit is hewn down and thrown into the fire. That's a true word then. It's a true word today. Jesus dealt with the same religious spirit in his day. He said, you are blind guides leading the blind. Both will fall into the ditch. See, the blind can't see. And this kind of blindness is not a physical blindness. It's a blindness of the heart. And Isaiah had prophesied it in Isaiah 29:10-13. The priests, the rulers, had lost their spiritual sensitive. They couldn't perceive the word of God. They couldn't receive the revelation in the word of God in those days, because their worship of God was just talk. They honor God with the mouth. They had drawn near with the lips, but their heart they have removed far from me, said the Lord. And the teaching, they teach the fear of the Lord. It's just a precept. It's just a doctrine. They don't really fear the Lord. See, they call the shots. They do what they want to do. They use God's word as they see fit. And as long as they look a certain way on the outward and they can fool men, they think that God doesn't care. They think God doesn't see. They think God won't do anything about it. But alas, ladies and gentlemen, God sees what's done in secret. God hears, and he is sending his prophets to proclaim from a rooftop what is done. And he's exposing. And the fear of the Lord will be established in the earth. He is the King. This Jesus Christ that came as a lamb, dumb, that did not revile back against Pilate and against the religious leaders in those days that falsely accused him, betrayed him, sold him out for 30 pieces of silver with a chump man named Judas. This Jesus Christ, he is head of the church, the called out people, the remnant, that aren't part of religion, that aren't playing a game with God, but they do love God and they love people. And they follow him wherever he goes. You must realize, though you have the temptation within your being to belong to something, so you can identify, you can say, I go to this church, or this is my pastor, or this is my leader, or this or that. Identify with Jesus Christ, the Lord. He bought you with his own blood, his own life. And he is the Lord of the church. He will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But ladies and gentlemen, he's called you out of corruption. Whatever kind of corruption, whether religious, whether secular, whether worldly, there's not to be a spot or blemish or wrinkle in the Lord's ecclesia, called out church people, a remnant. They will go through fire. They will go through tribulation. They will go through persecution, as all the prophets and the people of God have through ancient times. They will not love their own life. They will pick up their cross, deny themselves, and follow the Lord Jesus. This is what you need to identify with, ladies and gentlemen. Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 and following. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. God had a word through the prophet Amos that they weren't to seek Gilgal. They weren't to seek Bethlehem. They weren't to seek the past. They were to seek the present, where the Lord is, where the Lord's called you, where he sees, where he hears, where he acts, and where he is the Lord. Seek him, and you shall live. And this is our calling. We are at the time when this age is passing away, and the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is rising as the sun, where there is no iniquity, no lying, no perversity, no fornication or abomination, adultery or sorcery or timidity, but righteousness, peace, and the joy of the Holy Spirit. The true works of the apostle and the prophet are calling you unto Jesus Christ as a husband, that they may present you chaste as a virgin to Christ. And Paul talked about this in 2 Corinthians 11, and I'm reading from verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. There's others that come preaching another Jesus, another Christ, another gospel, another message. But when you go to the fountain of living water, that's no broken cistern, it will satisfy your thirst. And there's no other water that comes from God himself. There's no other taste as pure and as clean as comes from the Lord. And when you drink from this fountain, the fountain of living water, and when you've sought him with your whole heart, there's nothing else that will satisfy. And this is why the Lord said in John chapter 10 that he is the good shepherd that gave his life for his sheep. And he knows his sheep by their names. He calls them forth, and he walks before them, and they follow him, and they do not follow the voice of a stranger. We're in the last days, and people are falling away from the Lord, and it's like an apostasy, just like the Lamb said. But the Lord has given his life for you to succeed